Thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Northwestern Division for today's Missouri River Basin Conference call. This call is provided as a courtesy to congressional representatives, tribal, state, and local government officials, including levy sponsors and emergency managers in the media. I'm Eileen Williamson, and I will be your moderator. This call is recorded and placed on the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution Service for media reuse at www.dvidshub.net/unit/USACE-NWD. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. All lines should be on mute. To unmute your line, to ask a question, press *6 or use the WebEx app to come off mute by clicking the microphone. If the forced mute function does not work on your phone, please use your phone's own mute function and do not place the call on hold. The question and answer session will take place at the end of the call. Today's call, we have Doug Kluck from the NOAA National Center for Environmental Information, from the National Weather Service Missouri Basin River Forecast Center, Kevin Lau, Missouri River Water Management Division. We have John Remus and his staff. And from the Kansas City District, we have Jed Knieven, and Omaha District, we have Oliver Berglund to provide updates on flooding response. With that, I will hand the call over to Doug Kluck.
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for being on. Thanks to the Corps for inviting us. I'm going to go through, as we usually do, a few particulars about the past climate, current climate, and what's coming. So let's dive into it. Thank you. All right. So the last 90 days, on the left, we're looking at temperature. On the right, we're looking at precipitation. On the left, we're looking at the departure from normal, if you will, in terms of temperature over those 90 days. So early April to now, more or less. Well, the yellow to orange to red colors are above normal, whereas greens and blues and such are below normal in terms of temperature on the left-hand map, that is. And we're saying that most, for that period, most of the region, especially in the lower basin, was above normal in terms of temperature. Not a big surprise there. A little bit below normal as we go north and west. Now, in terms of precipitation, which is important, obviously, to the Missouri Basin, we see the greens to purple colors are above normal in terms of precipitation. Now, we're looking at, as we all know, we had a major flood event here, and you can look at southeast South Dakota, for example, and across Nebraska, where prolific rains fall more recently. But generally in the lower basin, you can see a lot of green, a lot of green there, especially along the Missouri River for that period, 90-day period. If you look west, though, you're seeing some reds, which mean less than 50% of normal precipitation, especially in Nebraska Panhandle, portions of Wyoming and such. And then some yellows and browns, where it's also below normal in terms of precipitation during that three-month period, 90-day period. Let's go to the next map, because this next slide will show the last 30 days. Again, temperature on the left. Really, when you see yellow in that light green shading, we're pretty close to normal. So I'm going to say temperature is generally pretty close to normal until you go a little further south and west. But generally, our temperatures weren't phenomenally high or low during June for the most part. We might have had a couple of days that were hot, but we also was tempered by some cooler days. Percentage of normal precipitation, there's that big splash, if you will, over South Dakota and northern Nebraska, even into eastern Nebraska, down through into Missouri and such, above normal precipitation. Also want to point out southwest Kansas, although that's not necessarily in the Missouri Basin. That was an area of deep drought earlier this year. Going upstream, especially in Wyoming, we see that dryness signal, if you will, continuing over the last 30 days. Dakota's sort of half and half or whatever, the western part of South Dakota anyway, being relatively dry. And I'll say portions of Montana too, but not spectacularly dry. Certainly not as dry percentage-wise as Wyoming. Let's go to the next slide. Looking at soil moisture sort of from a couple different angles, if you will, a couple different models that kind of look at this. Sort of a deeper soil moisture analysis on the left from the Grace satellite, actually, information. You see that yellow areas, yellow to red areas are sort of drier. And of course, that blue area or bluish areas are wetter than normal. Sorry, I don't want that thing making noise. So again, I'm kind of repeating myself yet again. And if you look at it, both maps, they sort of agree with each other, especially in that corner of southeast corner of South Dakota, Nebraska, and all that, where we had the heavy rains. But dryness sort of introducing itself again in deeper soil profiles as you sort of go up the river and really focused on West Nebraska, Northeast Kansas, Wyoming, et cetera. So I wouldn't say it's phenomenally dry anywhere, but you know, conditions can change, especially this time of year, pretty quickly. Next slide. Here's the outlook for the next 7 days, all totaled up, accumulated, whatever you, however you want to say it. We're looking pretty, I'm going to say this is a fair, it looks like there's a lot of green, but a lot of that's, I'll call that meaningless green. In other words, that first category of green, which is covering a whole lot of the basin and states, is a hundredth of an inch to a tenth of an inch. So we're talking really light rains for the most part, if they happen at all. This is the time of year also where we get those convective thunderstorms, and you may get an inch or two or five if you're right underneath it. But you also most likely are going to miss most of the rain in most places. So isolated precipitation is common from now until September. That's just the way it is in the summertime around here. So overall, next 7 days, I'll say relatively dry. There are some places in across Missouri that look a little wetter, and in Colorado that look a little wetter. Maybe some monsoonal moisture or tropical moisture coming up there. Not sure exactly what that is, but nothing outstanding here in terms of keeping us really wet or anything like that. Next slide. Here's the week two outlook for temperature on the left and precipitation on the right. We see that, I'll call it a signature of well above normal temperatures based in Montana. Not really a great thing if you live up there. Sorry about that. And all those kind of warmer colors, kind of that tan to red, are all indicating a lean towards warmer than normal conditions. Actually, a very strong lean towards warmer than normal conditions, maybe even hot conditions up in Montana, much above normal. On the right-hand side, you see the precipitation probabilities in a very sort of, I'll call it a weak signal towards dryness. Upper basin, mostly the Dakotas in eastern Montana, and same with the wetness in Missouri, in Kansas. It's a very weak leaning towards being a little bit wetter than normal. A lot of the areas also has that near normal shading, that gray shading in it as well. So nothing, I would say again, nothing to get overly excited about in terms of precipitation that week, 17th to the 24th of July. Next slide. Looking much farther forward into the future. This is sort of, if you accumulated July, or if you added July through September all together, and then looked at temperature on the left, precipitation on the right, the tendencies here are for, there's no cooler than normal, by the way, on the left temperature. All of that area, we're under the shading of above normal probability. So the probability of being warmer than normal July through September, when you average it all out, is above normal. Okay. The darker shading there as you get toward the four corners area which is obviously not the Missouri Basin, but that's just indicating where the highest probability of above normal temperatures are going to be. Similarly, on the right, you can look at the precipitation outlook, and you see that sort of brownish color over much of the basin, especially the high plains and mountains. Excuse me. That's indicating that the forecasters are sort of leaning towards, well, drier than normal conditions over that time. That's really also indicating for those in the business here that the monsoon will not be a very strong one in the Southwest, meaning that precipitation will be lacking across that area, which is not surprising based on some of the global circulation models. So a little bit drier for the next is a lot more likely for most of the basin for those 3 months all accumulated. Next slide. So three drought maps here. First one on the left is the current drought monitor map. We see that yellow, by the way, is sort of abnormally dry. It's not an official category in terms of drought. So it's sort of saying, hey, it's getting dry here. We need to watch this area. That's the yellow color. So it is getting dry across a lot of the portions in the West. It's not surprising based upon everything we've just seen. And there's still some of that, but as you sort of translate down into Kansas and such, but most of the basin, most especially the middle to lower basin, is quite, well, relatively wet compared to where we normally are. And there are some statistics over there I won't go into on the right if you really want to look at past years or past year and how things have changed over time. A better indication of how things have changed over the last 13 weeks is in the upper right corner, where you see green colors, drought has improved. Where you see, by the way, where you see white, there's no change because there never was any drought there in the first place, most likely, since this began in April 9th through July 9th. This is the change map. So where you see yellows and sort of browns, that's where drought has gotten worse. And where you see greens, drought has gotten better. Okay. And then finally, in the lower right, is the drought outlook that goes through the end of September. So sometime during late September, the outlook is for all that yellow area to at least get into a D1 situation. And that's not surprising, again, based upon what we're seeing so far and the forecast for that high plains and mountainous area of the basin. So some drier conditions coming in terms of being below normal precipitation during through September. Okay. And I think the next slide might be the last one. Yeah. So just to sum everything up, I didn't talk about El Nino or La Nina. We're currently in a neutral situation between the two. The forecast is that we will transition to a La Nina state by late summer or early fall. So we're sort of saying September, October, that kind of thing. We can go into that, what that means, if you have any questions about that later. But there has been some really good drought, really good recovery from drought, especially in the lower basin, and I'd say mid basin. Some increase in coverage, though, in terms of drought in the high plains. Last 30-day temperature is near normal. Okay. Outlook next 7 days, relatively dry and hot. I didn't talk about the hot, but just wait till Sunday, Monday, especially around here in Kansas City. It's going to be unbearable. But generally, we're seeing warmer temperatures move in. Some of that heat from the west is sort of shifting this way, a little further east. Week two, temperature still trending above normal, especially I think it was Montana, right, with the center in it, center of heat. Precipitation chances are slightly decreased across the upper basin, slightly increased far southern basin. Long-term increased chances for above normal temperatures across the strongest in the upper basin, but also the whole basin, the whole area will be a likely see above normal temperatures, and then increased chances for below normal precipitation, especially in the western basin, most of the basin actually in this case. I'll also remind folks that next week on Thursday at 1 p.m. Central, we will have a webinar covering this in more detail, not just the Missouri Basin, but the whole upper north central part of the US. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Doug. And we'll hand it over to Kevin Lau.
All righty. Good afternoon, everyone. As Doug said, I too wish to thank the Corps of Engineers for the invite for the Weather Service to participate on this call. Mountain snowpack, of course, has melted out. Looking at our the National Weather Service water supply outlooks, the last official one was June 1, but we still run them, and it's for the period April through September, and it looks like most of the mountainous west is woefully below normal, with the exception of the South Platte. South Platte looks like it might come out in September with a near average, maybe even above average, April through September volume. But the rest of the mountainous west looks kind of bleak as far as the volume goes. As Doug mentioned, of course, the flood focus for the basin this past month was the late June event, centered basically on Sioux Falls, South Dakota. 3-day rain totals in excess of 17 inches were reported just south of Sioux Falls. The National Weather Service's Hydrometeorological Design Studies Center, it's a mouthful, but they're the folks back at headquarters who publish precipitation frequency atlases for the nation. They're the ones that say, well, a 100-year, 24-hour amount for this town is X number of inches, and the 50-year, 2-day amount is this amount of rain. So they do studies on extreme events, and so they were requested, and they did perform an analysis on the June event there in South Dakota and Iowa, and they estimated the annual exceedance probability for that event as being less than a 0.1%, or as is commonly referred to as the 1,000-year event. So that was for the precipitation. So that precipitation did lead to the setting of several new river stage records along many rivers in that general area, including the Big and Little Sioux Rivers, the Floyd, the Vermilion, and the Rock River. Some of these new records exceeded the former stage record by several feet. I think the largest one was like 7 feet or so above the former record. So tragic, impressive. This event also resulted in flooding along the Missouri River itself from Sioux City down to the Mall. In addition to the flooding stemming from that late June event over South Dakota and Iowa, we also saw some tributary flooding in eastern Kansas and central Missouri due to other thunderstorm events as well over the past month. Looking forward, and I do apologize for the graphic that I have here, it's a bit dated. We run this these outlooks typically once a month, and this the outlook that you see here, the map that you see here, was from the execution that we did in late June, right after the event. So several of the rivers were already in major flood category when we ran this scenario. So basically what is still valid going forward would be the eastern Kansas and across Missouri, where we would still expect, and I checked the numbers just a while ago, we still do expect, as is typical, on again, off again, tributary flooding in eastern Kansas and across the state of Missouri. We do not expect, or it is not likely, that we would have resumed flooding on the Big and Little Sioux, the Floyd, the Vermilion, the Rock, all those colors that you see in South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa. That is what you see here has already happened. So going forward to the end of September, we do expect flooding in Missouri and in eastern Kansas, possibly even some minor flooding on the Missouri River itself due to future thunderstorm activity below Kansas City. And with that, I think that concludes my flood briefing for today. Back to you, Eileen, and thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. And John Remus.
Can you hear me, Eileen?
Sure can. I had muted you earlier, but it looks like you got yourself back off mute, so you're good.
All right. All right. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Also, a big thanks to Doug and Kevin for providing their insights as to what the future may hold. As Eileen said, I am John Remus, Chief of the Missouri River Basin Water Management Division. Our office is responsible for regulating the Missouri River Main Stem Reservoir System. This is the 7th of our 2024 monthly stakeholder calls. I will provide some general remarks, and then I will turn the discussion over to my senior staff for more detailed information. As always, I want to assure people in the basin that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers remains fully committed to our flood risk reduction mission, protecting people and businesses when we can from significant runoff events that pose a threat to human health and safety. Life safety is the Corps of Engineers' priority. As Doug and Kevin both mentioned, since our last call that was held on June 6th, there's been a major flooding event on the Missouri River base, on the Missouri River main stem, and on a number of the uncontrolled tributaries in eastern South Dakota and northwestern Iowa. This flooding was caused by excessive rainfall that fell from June 14th through the 23rd across a wide area and is below the main stem reservoir system. The same storm produced large amounts of rainfall and runoff in the Niobrara River Basin. The Niobrara River Basin is the major tributary to the Gavin's Point Reservoir. The Gavin's Point Reservoir has a very limited amount of flood control storage. The high runoff from the Niobrara River, coupled with the limited flood control storage, did not allow us to reduce releases from Gavin's Point. We did, however, significantly reduce flows from Fort Randall Dam, which is the dam just upstream from Gavin's Point. The combination of reduced flows from Fort Randall and transferring some of the Gavin's Point discharge from the powerhouse to the spillway allowed us to maintain flows at the pre-flood level rather than having to increase releases, which would have added to the peak. Once the inflow to Gavin's Point Reservoir returned to more normal, we reduced releases, which allowed us to reduce the flood duration slightly. Recent flooding underscores how important it is to understand that the volume, timing, and location at which runoff enters the system significantly impacts the timing and amount of water released from the reservoirs. While the recent flooding shared some characteristics with the 2011 and 2019 floods, this flood was different. Some places, such as southeastern Union County, South Dakota, were significantly different, while other places were only slightly different. Each runoff season or flooding event is unique. Care should be taken when comparing one event to another. We at the Corps of Engineers understand the importance of the Missouri River in providing water for irrigation, municipal, and industrial uses throughout the basin. We operate the system to meet the water supply requirements of the basin to the extent reasonably possible. There is presently and will be adequate water in the reservoirs, in the river reaches between the reservoirs, as well as below the system to serve all of the water supply needs. I want to remind everyone that the Corps of Engineers does not provide or guarantee access to the water. Maintaining access to the water is the individual facility owner-operator's responsibility. Further, we will continue to meet our statutory obligations to operate the Missouri River Main Stem Reservoir System for all of its authorized purposes, as described in the Master Water Control Manual. We will also comply with all laws and the provisions of the 2018 biological opinion. As part of the Endangered Species Act compliance, we have been and are presently conducting a flow test from Fort Beck Dam. This test consists of several components. An attraction peak flow that was conducted in early May, a retention period between the peak flows, a second spawning peak flow that began on June 19th, peaked around June 26th, at a discharge of 20,000 CFS, the peak was held for 3 days, and then flows were gradually reduced to a drift flow of 8,000 cubic feet per second on July 7th. The drift flow will be held until approximately September 1st, at which time we will resume normal operations from Fort Peck. The runoff forecast, which will be discussed in more detail in a few minutes, has improved steadily through the spring due to normal to above normal precipitation over a good portion of the upper basin. The projected reservoir releases and pool levels that are presented are based on the best available information. Actual conditions may be different. This concludes my opening remarks. Thank you very much. I will now turn the discussion over to Ryan Larson.
Thanks, John. I'm on slide 14. The 2024 calendar year runoff forecast for the Upper Missouri River Basin above Sioux City, Iowa, which is highlighted in red, is 24.6 million acre feet, or 96% of average. The current month's forecast is 3.6 million acre feet higher than the June 1st forecast, with 2.6 million acre feet of that increase from higher than forecasted June runoff. Moving to slide 15. The 2024 calendar year forecast reflects current improved soil moisture conditions in eastern portions of the basin, current higher than normal stream flow, and the Climate Prediction Centers, or CPC, outlook. Observed June runoff above Sioux City, Iowa was approximately 120% of average. However, the runoff above Gavin's Point Dam was only 82% of average, with runoff in the Fort Peck to Oahe reaches being approximately 50 to 90% of average. Moving to slide 16. The above average runoff above Sioux City, Iowa was mostly due to runoff in the Gavin's Point to Sioux City reach that saw extreme rainfall produce record stages on many tributaries in eastern South Dakota, western Iowa, and western Minnesota, resulting in runoff approximately 680% of average. This map shows the estimated rainfall return intervals for the highest 7-day rainfall amounts between June 14th and 23rd, compared to NOAA Atlas 14's frequency estimates. Large areas in South Dakota, Iowa, and Minnesota saw rainfall totals estimated to be between a 1 in 100-year event to less than 1 in a 1,000-year event. Runoff in the reaches below Oahe Dam are forecasted to be above average for the next month as the floodplain continues to drain, keeping tributary flows higher than average. However, runoff in the reaches above Oahe Dam are forecasted to be below average due to the dry soil conditions and increased chances of above normal temperatures and below normal precipitation shown in the CPC outlooks. Moving to slide 17. Mountain snowpack peaked below normal and approximately a week earlier than normal at 73% of average and 82% of average in the above Fort Peck and Fort Peck to Garrison reaches respectively. Despite multiple late season snowstorms in the Rockies, mountain snowpack in both reaches quickly melted, completely melting by the third week of June, or approximately 3 weeks earlier than normal. In summary, the 2024 calendar year runoff forecast is 24.6 million acre feet, or 96% of average. I will now turn it over to Kevin to talk about system regulation.
All right, thank you, Ryan. So the Gavin's Point releases averaged 26,000 cubic feet per second in June. Releases were lowered to 13,000 cubic feet per second from June 28th to July 8th in response to the high flows downstream, and they are currently at 18,000 cubic feet per second. Releases are forecast to gradually increase over the next several days as needed to meet downstream navigation targets. This slide shows the system storage is currently at 57 million acre feet, or 0.9 million acre feet, above the base of the annual flood control zone. System storage increased about 2 million acre feet since the beginning of June. The basic simulation uses the runoff forecast that Ryan just discussed. Due to the amount of variability that can occur over the next several months, we also develop an upper and lower runoff that are then used in the upper and lower basic simulations. These simulations provide a range of reservoir elevations and releases that may be expected under the different runoff scenarios. The discussion to follow will focus on the basic or most likely simulation. Information on the other studies is posted on our webpage. Moving on to slide 20, Fort Peck and Oahe are currently 4.1 and 3.2 feet below the base of their respective flood control pools. Garrison is 5.4 feet above the base of the flood pool, and Fort Randall is 10.8 feet above the base of the flood pool. Fort Peck Reservoir has been declining since early June, and I will discuss the Fort Peck releases on a later slide. Garrison Reservoir is peaking near 1843, and releases will remain at 22,000 cubic feet per second this summer. Oahe Reservoir is currently at elevation 1604.3 and rising. Peak releases are expected to average about 33,000 cubic feet per second this summer. I am now on slide 21, which details the master manual system storage checks. The service level is used to determine releases from Gavin's Point Dam to support navigation, and in combination with the bank stabilization and navigation project to help provide the downstream navigation channel. The July 1 system storage check resulted in no change to the navigation flow support level. Releases are currently being set to provide flow support at a level 500 CFS below full service. For this service level on the basic simulation, Gavin's Point monthly average releases typically range from about 29,000 to 33,000 cubic feet per second. However, due to the high tributary inflows, releases are currently much lower. Future releases will depend on downstream conditions and may be adjusted in response to downstream flooding. The effectiveness of the reservoir system to reduce peak stages along the lower river diminishes as you move downstream due to the travel time. The navigation flow support season length is also based on the July 1 system storage. That check indicated there would be a full-length flow support season ending December 1st at the mouth of the Missouri River. Now onto slide 22. Test releases from Fort Peck to assess the potential benefits of alternative management scenarios for the pallid sturgeon were implemented starting at the end of April. The second period of higher Fort Peck releases has been completed. The target flow for the second peak reached 20,000 cubic feet per second at Wolf Point, Montana on about June 24th. Fort Peck releases are currently 8,000 CFS and will remain at this rate until mid-September. The water released from Fort Peck is being captured in Garrison. The releases from Gavin's Point are unaffected due to the flow test. We are hosting weekly virtual meetings during the flow test to update the public on test progress and planned operations. More information can be found on our website, and information related to the flow test can be submitted using the link on the bottom of the slide. On to slide 23. Energy generation at the main stem dams under the basic simulation is 7.8 billion kilowatt hours, and the long-term average is 9.4 billion kilowatt hours. And finally, my last slide, which is 24. This is the Missouri River Basin Weekly Update, which is found on our website at the address shown on the top of the slide. This web page gives a general overview of the current conditions in the Missouri River Basin and is updated weekly, usually on Tuesday morning. That concludes my comments, and Eileen, I will turn it back to you.
Thank you, Kevin. We will move to the question and answer session. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. To come off mute to ask a question, press star 6 or use the microphone in the WebEx app. Please be sure to state your name and the organization that you represent. I'm going to go in alphabetical order by state, starting with Iowa. Okay, Kansas. Missouri. Oh, you know what? I missed something and I apologize. I'm going to go back and allow Kansas City District to provide an update of flood fighting, and then we'll move to Omaha.
You hear me?
Yes. Sorry about that, Jed. Yeah.
That's okay. Good afternoon. I'm Judd Knieven. I'm the emergency management chief for the Kansas City District. So today we declared an end to the flood event on the lower Missouri River within the Kansas City District. Our emergency operations center has returned to what we call level 4, normal operations. And with the end of the event, We also issued our notice to public sponsors regarding rehabilitation assistance for flood damage, flood control projects. And participants in the Public Law 8499 Rehabilitation Program within the Kansas City District will have until August 10th, 2024 to request rehabilitation assistance. As a reminder, those requests for assistance must be in writing. We've also mailed the notice to all participants in the program along the Lower Missouri River from Rulo, Nebraska to Labadee, Missouri. And we've also included the Lower Grand River Basin in that mailing. I have no additional comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Judd. And over to Oliver in the Omaha District.
Good afternoon. This is Oliver with the Omaha District Emergency Management. Just like Kansas, I just wanted to let the Upper Missouri Basin know that we did send out letters to sponsors for the request for rehabilitation. And I believe our deadline is August 8th that we need to hear back from. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Oliver. Okay. I've got one question in the chat and then I'll go back to going in alphabetical order by state. The question in the chat is, can Kevin Lau or Doug Cluck talk specific prediction amounts for flooding in Missouri, Missouri and Kansas from July to September? What is the Corps plan to do about flooding in Missouri and Kansas? And can someone explain what D1 means for soil moisture in the lower basin? Specifically looking for information related to Kansas City and St. Joseph, Missouri, Atchison, Donovan, Hiawatha, and Elwood, Kansas areas. And that is in the chat if you need to refer back to it.
I'll quickly talk about the D1 category. So D0 is obviously the category that's less than that. This is Doug Cluck, by the way. D0 is saying it's getting dry, anomalously dry, but not quite to the drought level. D1, if I and Kevin or anybody else, if I'm wrong, let me know. There's a return frequency on. We think that happens. I think it's 1 in every 5 years, or is it 1 in every 2 years? Whatever. There's no direct link to a particular soil moisture, although soil moisture does help us understand how things are getting drier. So there's several different things that go into it, like, you know, how much precip you have. Because when you talk about soil moisture, we're talking about the whole depth from surface down, let's say, to 3, well, sometimes even down to 6 feet. So there's a, you can have a really wet lower soil moisture or really wet top of the soil, and it means different things. So I'm not going to say we link D1 to a particular soil moisture. If you want to know more about that, feel free to email me. I'll try to help you out. Over to you, Kevin Lau.
I was just going to say, thanks, Doug. We've still got a little bit more to explain, and yeah, let's let Kevin do that.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Good question, Nicole. Basically, just in general, we're looking at typical flooding across eastern Kansas, the state of Missouri. If you want to reach out to me via my email that's shown on the screen now, I can show you on the web where to go to find site-specific probabilities for flooding at any location. So it's more than what I should probably spend on today's call, but I'd happy to be able to talk you through it if you want to contact me after the call. I hope that's okay.
Thank you, Doug. Kevin, thank you. All right, so back to the alphabetical order.
Eileen, there's still a little bit more in that question there. It says, what USAID plans to do about flooding in Missouri and Kansas?
Yeah,
I'll take that from a water management point of view. Is as Kevin Stom said, we will adjust flows when we can in response to downstream flooding. However, If you look at Gavin's point and the distance, the travel time to get down to Kansas and Missouri, that's 5+ days. So our ability to react is quite limited there. I don't know if Judd would like to talk a little bit about what the emergency management may be able to do from his point of view about flooding in Kansas and Missouri.
Yeah, this is Judd. So, you know, generally this time of year, really, it's we're just subject to localized heavy rainfall. And although Kevin said we still have a chance to see minor moderate flooding down here, our chances do fall off during this period a little bit. So we're not too concerned about it. Our levee systems perform very well during this last event. We don't expect to see a lot of damage to any of them. So barring no exceedingly heavy rainfall, they should perform very well if flooding presents itself again. Over.
All right, thanks, Judd. Okay, now back to the list. State of Nebraska, if you have any questions, star 6, unmute, state your name and organization you represent. Hey, Montana. North Dakota. South Dakota. Wyoming. If I missed anybody or you didn't get a chance to come off mute to ask your questions. Okay, I'll hand it back to John for closing comments.
Thank you, Eileen. As I stated in my opening remarks, life safety is the Corps of Engineers priority. As we transition through the summer here and into the fall, people will be spending more time on or near the water, whether that is for business, such as irrigation or navigation, or for pleasure, such as fishing or boating. Being on or near the water can be dangerous, so please use caution and use the proper safety equipment. The danger is significantly increased during periods of high water. Also keep in mind that the meteorologic and hydrologic conditions in the basin can change and sometimes change quite rapidly. I encourage everyone to keep a close eye on the weather, access the information on the NOAA and National Weather Service websites for the most up-to-date weather forecast and information, and check out our website for information on releases from our reservoirs and pool levels. As was on the first slide, I believe, we usually end these calls after the July call, but because we are continuing with the Fort Peck flow test and we have some kind of wet conditions in certain parts of the basin, we will have an August call and possibly one in September. The August call will be on August 8th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time. Looking even further ahead, we are in the process of planning our fall public meetings. As of now, we are looking at late October or early November. More to come on that. Just wanted to give everybody a heads up on that. With that, I'll offer one last chance for questions before ending the call. Going once, going twice. That's it. With that, I will end the call. Thank you very much.